everyone, and welcome to another amazing episode of Classic Elder Scrolls Night. Today's record date is Freydos, Lassie the First, and our show is sponsored in part by Tweaked Audio, tweakedaudio.com, quality headphones and 30% off with our code OFFTHERECORD, and also by Audible, audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Thanks a lot, guys, for sponsoring our show today. I am your humble host and fellow Tamrielic traveler, Ivarwin. And I've got the one and only Shank the Tank with me today.
That's right, you guys. We are, looks like we're in Riften, and we have an awesome show planned for you guys today. So stick around, as it'll be a fun time.
Absolutely, and I know last week we left off with a big question. Who is going to be the third host, the new host for Classic Elder Scrolls Night? And we're very proud and very excited to unveil this person, the one and only Crispy Crackers.
Hello, hi guys, hi chat room. I'm super stoked to be here. I get to sit here for an hour and talk to you guys about Elder Scrolls, my favorite game on Earth, so that's pretty sweet.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. One of our new hosts here at Quest Gaming Network. It's fantastic to actually have you on a show permanently now, so again, welcome.
just remember one thing, Crispy. Don't break rank.
No.
Yes, sir.
Don't ever do that. You're not breaking rank now, are you?
I don't know. Should I talk?
Oh, man. I'm just getting assaulted by the fauna of Riften around here.
Do you have the Mace of Molag Bal?
Nah, it's not the Mace of Molag Bal.
It looks pretty... I mean, you can tell how frequently I do the shrine quest because I don't recognize the Mace of Molag Bal.
I've actually never done that quest simply because of its... just like, you know, what it is and what you have to do in order to get that quest, that item. No, I actually made this. This is a legendary Nordic mace. It's got
damn.
A 50% chance for each element, fire, frost, and shock, to do 39 points of damage.
Wow.
And dude.
On hit, it already does 115 on hit.
That is sick.
That is, so that's basically like death.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, it's pretty BA. I really like it. I think I'm wearing ebony gear right now. Just double check. So we're in Skyrim, but let's before we go any further into any of this, Shank, where can the good folks find us?
They can watch us live bi-weekly 9 p.m. Eastern time at twitch.tv/questgamingnetwork. You can email the show at elderscrollsofftherecord@gmail.com. You guys can also find us at elderscrollsofftherecord.com and questgamingnetwork.com. And follow us on Twitter. We're at elderscrollsotr. Tweet us. Tell us a good little joke or two. And that'll be cool. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/elderscrollsofftherecord, as well as Google+. google.com/questgamingnetwork.
And Crispy, what are we doing today?
Tonight we are playing, obviously, Elder Scrolls V Skyrim.
Woot!
Yeah. Some of our discussion topics for tonight are good locations to explore, and you know you're obsessed with Skyrim when. Plus, we have a fast question, so be ready.
That's right. All right, so first order of business, guys.
I'm so excited for this one.
Go ahead, Shank. Why don't you introduce it to
the? Okay, you guys obviously can't see me right now, chat room. But I literally have my strategy guide out, like splayed out across my lap, and the map that it came with, which is a map of all the locations in Skyrim. No, I did not use this when I first started playing the game. That would be cheating. But after I played it for, you know, I beat it and stuff, I looked at it and, oh my god, I'm so excited. Okay, so good locations to explore.
Well, actually, before we do that, Crispy, because you're here now, we have a brand new segment in the show. And why don't you tell people a little bit about what they can expect out of this new segment from you each episode of Classic?
Yeah, so Ivarwin tasked me with this mission to come up with a segment. And after a couple of terrible ideas, I finally had one that he liked and that I'm really excited about. So one of my favorite things to do in any Elder Scrolls game is to explore the dungeons and crypts and the dark, dreary, gross places. And a lot of them have really, really cool stories behind them. And what I'm going to be doing it every other week is telling a story from an Elder Scrolls dungeon.
And as she's telling the story, I'm going to do my best to put myself inside that dungeon and explore the dungeon and fight through it as she tells the story of what happened. So that's what we got planned for you.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. All right. So anyway, sorry, Shank. I wanted to at least get before we moved on. So our first discussion topic.
First of all, welcome to Bria NJ in chat. She says, I've been listening to the podcast for about a year, but it's my first time in the chat room live. Hello, everyone.
Hey, welcome.
Nice yeah.
Welcome.
Congratulations.
So, good locations to explore by Zerts. This is from the Bethsoft forums. I highly suggest you guys go. I mean, there's some pretty awesome conversations going on there. The topic reads, I've spent countless hours exploring damn near all of Skyrim's vast amount of dungeons, ruins, caves, and other locations. Exploring these places is my favorite thing to do, and there's nothing better than coming across a location with its own mini-quest and secrets. I'm looking for a reason to explore some of these places again, and some of the better ones I've forgotten the location and name. So this is where I ask you to provide me with some of your favorite locations so I can head there and explore them once again. And there's a pretty big list here, so I'm just going to go through this really quickly. Cagrinzel, yep. A Dwemer ruin up in the mountains. Abandoned prison, which I actually know where that is. Valthheim Towers, Ingol's Barrow, Japhet's Folly, Giant's Grove, Labyrinthian, of course. Shriekwind Bastion, the Forgotten Vale, Blackreach, oh my goodness, Bloated Man's Grotto, yep.
Oh yeah.
Lost Valley Redoubt / Bard's Leap, Foral Host, and those random unmarked areas, such as a skeleton handcuffed to a flag near the beach. Now, sad and probably unsurprising to many of you, I actually know where some of these are. But...
some of my favorite locations are on that list.
Same here, but I'm actually maybe this is where Zerts was asking for suggestions. I actually have a suggestion.
Yeah. That's actually one thing I wanted to do with this discussion topic. As
oh,
well
okay,
as
cool.
I wanted to hear what they were saying, but really more importantly, I sort of wanted to ask you guys if there was any way you could expand on that list and give a suggestion.
Oh yes. I have a couple, actually, but I will let Crispy go first.
Oh, what a gentleman. Thank you. So, like you said, a lot of the best places are already on this list, including the dungeon that I'm going to talk about later, but a place that I really like in Skyrim is up towards the northwest corner, I believe. There's this path that you can go to that will take you almost off the map. You have to actually stop because you reach the end of the world. But you sort of pass by all these ruins.
And I know what you're talking about.
You do? Yeah.
Yep. Is it near the like the Dwemer little... It's kind of like near a creek, right? And it goes into the west, and it's got like a little Dwemer ruin, sort of like half-destroyed bridge sort of thing crossing this little creek thing.
I think that's the same thing that I'm talking about. And you eventually reach a post where it tells you the story of how the people from Morrowind had to come through that area to find their loved ones when they had to leave the continent.
You're saying in the northwest?
East. I know my cardinal directions. Northeast.
Oh, okay.
Oh, northeast. Oh, yeah, I thought you were talking about northwest. Okay.
No. I did say northwest, and I totally meant northeast. But yeah, I didn't think there was any Dwemer ruins over there, so my bad. But yeah, you kind of learn the story about how the elves came to come to Skyrim from Morrowind, and it's really cool.
I don't know if I have this opened up.
Oh.
I think, okay, and this is, I think this is where like those like bears are. There's like two like polar bears or like something. I forget what they're, but there's two. I remember getting destroyed up here, and I think, is it like a refugee's rest?
Yes, exactly. I think they're trolls, actually, not bears.
Yeah, trolls. Yeah, the ice trolls or whatever. Mm-hmm. The frost trolls, yeah.
That was one of my favorite things to discover.
Yeah, so, Ivarwin, if you go to Whiterun...
Okay.
It is directly due east of Whiterun.
All right, let's take a look. I've been to a lot of places on this particular character,
mm-hmm.
but not 100% sure if I've unlocked this one. You said directly due east. Is that past, you know, over the mountain there?
No. You'll literally, if you know where the docks are in, sorry, not Whiterun. Wow. Windhelm. My bad. Dude.
Windhelm.
Okay.
Wow. My bad. Yeah, if you go literally just due east of Windhelm, you'll see there's those two farms, and if you just follow the road that's you know, next to the two farms, it'll actually, you know what, I think you found it. I think that's it.
Yeah, I got refugees.
I see that on your it's right above this Boethia.
Okay.
Right, it's right north of where you do the Boethia quest.
Yeah, it's refugees
right north
rest.
Of there, yeah.
Okay. Hey, you know what? Maybe we'll fast travel over there and take a look.
Sweet.
You want to do that?
Yeah. Totally.
All right. Let's do it. Let me clear out the this enemy over here, and we'll go check this place out. I cleared it anyway, so we'll take a quick run over there. Let's see what we got here. Just move it on up. Refugees rest. Cannot fast travel from this location. All right, it's because I'm in an instance. All right, so let me just back out of here real quick.
Sure. That's my favorite thing. It's like if I get attacked in like a cave or something, I just peace and I can just like run away because they never like leave the cave and chase after you.
Yeah, exactly. The bears are like, you know, oh man, I can't fast travel out of this location. Damn it. Can't wait for Elder Scrolls 6. Look, they're trying to crawl up this this tree to get out of here.
I don't parkour, know, man.
Parkour. Yeah, it's not working out for me. Hold on. We're getting there. No, we're not. All right. So I'll have to go through the rest of this cave. Hopefully, it's not much longer. So while we do that, you know, since we're on Crispy, is there anything else that maybe you had thought of, another location or a different one?
No, that's the only one that came to mind.
All right. What about you, Shank?
There was something that wasn't mentioned on that list, and it was one of the coolest things I found. And in my opinion, it's got one. I mean, probably unsurprisingly, like I always try to pick spots that have beautiful vistas. Which I may or may not take screenshots and then tweet out.
Utilizing the PS4 share, a.k.a. Shank button on his controller.
Yeah, that's... I mean, it's basically broken on my PS4 controller. There's one spot, and it was weird because, like, when I was playing Skyrim for the first time, I was playing it on my PS3, and I'd put in, like, over 200 hours. And this was one of the last locations that I discovered. And it was so cool because, you know, after 200 plus hours and I was still finding stuff, I was like, man, how much stuff is there in the game? So this was something that's quite memorable for me. And it's actually called Angie's Camp. This is way in Falkreath Hold. And it's actually, there's really no easy way to get to it. Unless you've found a location relatively near it.
Well, damn it, Angie. You should have built your camp in a much easier location to get to.
But it's really cool because, like, she...
No, screw Angie.
She's actually a marksman trainer.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. That was a hard, hard place to find.
Yeah, you gotta hit the arrows with the on the posts.
Yeah. Yeah, and they get further and further away.
Yeah, and she gives you like a time limit and these challenges to do, and like if you do it, like you can use her as a trainer and like trade with her and stuff. And it was so, I was like, man, it was one of the coolest things I found, you know, in the dying hours of my game. No, in my first character.
No, I meant that. Screw Angie and her stupid test. I hate her. she can die for all I care. Damn you, Angie. So we're at Refugee's Rest right now, and I'm getting attacked by a troll.
Yep, these are the...
Big surprise, I'm getting attacked by a troll.
We warned you.
All right,
That's like a Spriggand troll.
Yeah, there was something crazy about that guy. He was like laced with the power of green trollness.
Yeah, dude. That's not good. That must mean there's a Spriggan somewhere here.
Oh, I hate Spriggans so much.
God, they're so... And the crazy thing is, like, I mean, they're not... I honestly hated them more in Oblivion because, like, I thought they were in Oblivion because you know how they always have that bear with them.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dude, they're like the one thing that I absolutely will... I just can't defeat in Oblivion are the Spriggans.
They come packing, yeah.
But in this game, at least, they're a little bit easier, but they still suck.
Oh, they're a complete pain. I know one thing is Jenny loves playing Skyrim, and every now and again she gets on a when her study frees her up long enough to have a Skyrim binge. She certainly goes insane over a Skyrim binge. And one of the things that she hates doing is when she makes a new character traveling south. Because that's where all the damn Spriggans are in the Rift area. And it, like, she hates them. It freaks her out. All right. So I found this book. It calls Decree. It's called Decree of Monument. And it's sort of like a journal written in 4th Era 20. And it says this. This tower once served as a meeting place where those brave souls who achieved safe passage to Skyrim would find loved ones and leave notice for others who could not be found.
Yes. I thought that was so cool.
Let it stand in honor of those who had the strength and spirit to accept Skyrim's offer. Untithed to any thane or hold, and self-governed with free worship and no compensation to Skyrim or the Empire, except as writ in the armistice of old, wheresoever those might still apply, and henceforth let no man or mer say that the sons and daughters of Kyne are without mercy or honor. We, the Jarls of Skyrim, hereby decree this site as monument to the struggle of those who fled their native home of Morrowind in the time following the Red Year.
Wow.
Deep.
Very. So this is this is it right here. And you can even see, like, you know, old banners that look like they may actually be... of the houses of Morrowind.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
Very cool. So this is one of Crispy's favorite places. Now, what is it about this particular monument that you find so endearing?
Probably because Morrowind was the first game that I ever played back in the day, and I loved it so much that when I found this, I was like, wow, they're doing a really good job of keeping up with the lore and the history. And it just, you know, it gave me goosebumps. It gave me nostalgia. Just, you know, I geeked out about it.
Oh, I totally get it. Yeah. Cool.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about nostalgia, man, and you know, on that list in that discussion topic in that forum post, he mentions Blackreach, and you actually get a quest in Blackreach, a return to your roots.
Oh yeah, this is your favorite guy, Sindarin, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah. You get and so in Oblivion, there was this guy in Skingrod named Sindarin, and he gave you this. It was nothing more than a fetch quest, but damn it was the greatest fetch quest I've ever played in my life. It's you literally just have to go out and just collect a crap ton of Nernroot for this guy, and the more Nernroot you create, collect, he gives you like better and better potions and stuff like that.
And finding Nernroot in Oblivion is not easy.
No, well, if you know where to look, Crispy.
I didn't.
Yeah, if you actually go to the south, there's so much Nernroot there. But you know, and he was basically an alchemist, and in Blackreach in Skyrim. You get this quest, Seeking Your Roots, or sorry, Return to Your Roots, which is an obvious reference to Sindarin, because Sindarin's quest was Seeking Your Roots. And you actually find Sindarin in Skyrim, in Blackreach, and you find his like journal of him, like, you know, traveling north and doing all this cool stuff. And it was, man, it put the biggest smile on my face, because first of all, Blackreach, when you discover it, it's just an eye-opening moment. It really, I mean, Blackreach is incredible. And then after I spent hours and hours exploring Blackreach, you come across, you know, Sindarian's body, and I was literally just like, no way, dude. Man, it was so... Ugh.
It's definitely an awesome moment when you have that. Now for me, unfortunately, the moment was lost because I saw him, and first before I was even introduced to the character in Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
So,
same with me.
Right? And you kind of get this feeling like, you know, you're looking at this character and they kind of like overblow the character for you. Like they make him really important visually, and they put like little journals around that you think to yourself, like, is this part of a quest? Like, should I know this guy for some reason? And then later on you find out, well, if you played Oblivion,
yeah,
then you would know.
And then it's underwhelming because all he does is give you a fetch quest in Oblivion, and you're like, oh.
But it's for Nernroot. How can you? It's for Nernroot. Nernroot's freaking awesome.
It was better your way.
Huh?
It was better finding in your way.
Oh, yeah, you know, through Oblivion first. Mm-hmm. That's a crazy thing. Like, in Oblivion, he was probably, like, the fifth or sixth quest I ever got in that game. So, like, it was very, very memorable because, I mean, at that point, the game was still, you know, I was very impressionable with the scale and scope of that game. So I was like, oh, man, Sindarian, that's so cool.
Poor young Shank was very impressionable.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I mean, that game changed my life. It absolutely changed my life. It was incredible. I don't know. So where are you headed off to?
Actually, I'm trying to find one of my favorite locations, which is Valthyme Towers. And I was looking on my map here, and I don't know why. It seems like I don't have
it east.
Unlocked. It should be near Whiterun.
It's just
north of it.
It's not north of it. It's actually east of it. Yeah. You have it unlocked, actually.
Yeah. Yep. I got it. Here we go. Yeah, I was looking in the wrong location there. But anyway, this is one of my favorite locations, and it made the list here, and it's Valthyme Towers. And the reason why I love this place so much is because this was one of the first places in Skyrim I found. Now, I was walking north from Whiterun, coming up here, and actually, let me backtrack for a second. Okay, I have a new appreciation for the way they do road signs in Elder Scrolls, because they're always the same. As in, there's always road signs, and when you go over to them, you know, they always tell you the exact same information, you know, where the nearest city is. And I think there's a couple of games where, you know, you have to mouse over it in order to get the name, but most of them, the name is actually on there and clear enough for you to read. I love that. Small thing, but it makes a difference to me.
No, I 100% agree with you, man. I love coming across... That was one of the things in Oblivion. You come across the road signs, you're like, oh, I actually like... Okay, this is telling me where to go. And so it just added to the realism and believability, I think.
Yeah. Now, this is what I love about it. And this was one of the first places I found, and I stopped, and I said, Jesus, this game is beautiful.
Yeah.
This picture right here of Valthyme Towers. If I can get this on a postcard, I mean, it would be great. You know, I love the way the river runs and how the towers, you know, connect themselves in spite of the river. And then the encounter that you get into here with the bandits. Tons of fun. I mean, if you're an archer, you know what you're trying to do.
Oh, God, dude. Mm-hmm. So awesome.
The greatest thing in the whole world is to snipe the bandit that walks on this bridge, and it's not enough to snipe him. You got to snipe him, and
yeah,
right, he's got to fall off and into the water.
I'm totally with you. This was one of the first locations I found because first thing I did in Skyrim was, you know, finish that beginning part and just walk east. And naturally, you're going to come across Valthyme. And I was, you know, same thing. I was like, man, that's such cool design. And then, of course, when you get to the top, you're presented with this stunning view across East March over to the Velothi Mountains in the east there. And you're just like, my God. I mean, it's you get that sense of just epic reality, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks so cool.
Look at that.
Now, I don't know if you know this. You probably do. But to those of you that don't, there's actually a lot of stuff behind Valheim. So it doesn't just end, you know, with the tower where the chieftain, you know, the bandit chief is. There's actually a lot of stuff up behind it on the north face of Valheim. There's a bunch of ore veins, and it has like a whole little path that can lead you back up there, which eventually, if you keep going, it will take you to Krosis, the dragon priest up there on that mountain.
You know what? I don't think I've ever done that before.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Let me go take a look at this. Krosis.
It's a little sad that I know that, but just figured I would, as long as we're talking about exploration here.
Oh, there's one of the pieces of ore that you're referring to.
Yeah.
There we go. And we've got this.
Yeah, so if you keep walking along these rocks... Right. The path will sort of curve around here.
Yeah.
It's pseudo ends, but you can still definitely get up there.
Yeah, just to, like, you know, make your way around some of the rocks.
Yep.
I've never been over here before. You know, and as funny as this is, you know, I only have about 500 hours in the game.
Oh, God. I'm embarrassed to tell you how many I have.
And there was someone on the Elder Scrolls forums. They said he's got 3,000.
That's ridiculous. That's like, dedication.
Holy Jesus.
So either he is like a student or like a kid. Or I don't even know. Like, how do you. Know. That is impressive.
More power to him. That's for sure. Yeah. Look, I've got level 54, and there's a ton of like unexplored, unlocked areas up here. I mean, that must be Krosis right there. The
dragon wall. Yep, that is. That is a dragon. I think that's a regular dragon. And then if you go to the wall, that is Krosis. But yeah, man, it's got you got all these, you know, the Dwemer ruins and stuff up here. I think there's a shrine. It's an unmarked shrine that's up here that you can pray to as well, off to the east of Krosis. But
oh,
yeah, I mean, how cool is this, dude? I just showed. Yeah, now you know of a new way to get to this place.
Do you know how long it's been since I've actually fought a dragon?
Probably.
It's been a long time. I can't wait to do this. This is going to be great. Heal myself up a little bit here.
No, it's a blood dragon. Yeah, you got this.
Oh, yeah, totally. I love smashing him in the face when he's breathing the fire.
I love the animation, like, you know, when you like get a critical hit on him and then you just you're about to like finish him off and you like jump up on the dragon.
Yeah. Here we go. Get him. Now, one of the things that always breaks my immersion on this is how if you have a mace in your hand, you stab him as if you were holding a sword.
Yeah, dude, I noticed that too. And even when you like in the beheading animations, it's the same sort of deal, because you like swipe across with your mace in the same animation that you would with a sword to behead somebody. But I mean, you have a mace, so it's like, wouldn't you just like crush a skull if you did that?
Right, exactly. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, that's why I always prefer to have a sword and shield in my hand. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's Krosis. What you got going on, buddy?
Let's
get it. Oh.
Funny story about Krosis. He was the first dragon priest I came across when I was level like 7.
God.
Yeah. So like I ran away.
Yeah.
Aren't the default level on these things like they start at like 25?
I actually don't know. Let me look that up in my strategy guide.
There you go. Krosis has been defeated. And Now here's a little trick for you guys, all right? When you defeat a dragon priest, you get the dragon mask. Krosis is great for thieves. Lockpicking, archery, and alchemy are 20% better with the Krosis mask. And you get your star. You get a staff of flaming balls. I mean fireballs. See what I did there?
Wow.
All right, let's see what... oh, my, there's three words, is this? What's going on here? Word of power learned. Voice. Throw voice.
Voice. Voice.
Voice. Crispy, you sure you want to be on the show?
I'm having a lot of fun.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad. Scaled helmet of archery. Circlet of peerless illusion. And expert robes of alteration. Very cool. I don't need any of that, but I'm just going to take it.
So I'm looking at the strategy guide, and it's not actually telling me what level these guys are, but I would assume that they're ridiculously high level, because there's actually like a meta quest to collect all the Dragon Priest masks, and it actually ends in Labyrinthian, if you guys haven't done them already. But yeah, so there is a... It's not a written quest in your journal, but there is a, you know, you can collect all of the Dragon Priest's masks, and if you do that and you go to a certain place, you get something really special. I've done it maybe once.
Doesn't it, like, unlock a door or something?
It does. You get access to a location in Labyrinthian, which you can't really access otherwise.
Right.
And you get something from there.
Crispy, have you ever done that?
You know, that's something that I've never done. And the other thing that I've never done is the Stones of Berenzaia quest.
Oh, my God.
I know. What?
I don't know.
I'm with you. Like, that is, I mean, you have to find 24 tiny little gems that are strewn across literally the entire country.
And they're not even in places that you have to go. Like, I found one, like, on a shipwreck somewhere out in the water. Like,
yeah. How are you supposed to find these things?
I think Lou found, like, all of them. Or he, last I heard, he only needed one or two.
Oh, my God.
He's just sick. Just absolutely crazy. Yeah,
That's insane. The most I found was, like, seven. And I was like, damn, I'm doing a pretty good job.
I don't even think I found that many. I think this character has the most, like, you know, four or five. The Stones of Baron. No, I totally feel you, Crispy, on that. I mean,
I did the Extra Life marathon for charity last year.
Okay.
And you pretty much play video games for 24 hours straight and raise money and stuff.
Right.
And, like, I was sleep deprived at, like, 6 in the morning, and I decided to, like, go online and cheat and, like, try to find them all. And I still can only find, like, three more. And that's...
That's so, nuts. Yeah. All right, so there you go. Those are our favorite locations, and maybe you'll want to weigh in and tell us what some of your favorite locations are in Skyrim. You can do this do it on Facebook. Send us some messages on Facebook. Facebook.com/ Elder Scrolls Off the Record, and let us know what your favorite location in Skyrim is. All right, on to a discussion, a quick little topic that I'm looking forward to, and that is, you know, you're obsessed with Skyrim when... ... And Crispy, take it away, please.
Okay, so we have a form here. Somebody asked this question, and there's some really, really funny answers. So I'm just going to read through a few of them, and then we can talk amongst ourselves.
Sure.
So, you know you're obsessed with Skyrim when... You hire illegal immigrants to live in your basement and research the Dwemer.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I don't know how PR that is, but... Okay. you know you're obsessed with Skyrim when you greet your boss with, "Long life to you, my thane."
Jeez. Not my boss. Screw that guy.
Okay, you know you're obsessed with Skyrim when your girlfriend is not impressed by you calling her the Night Mother.
Yeah. That's
a good one.
That's kind of hot, I'm not going to lie.
And last but not least, let's see. You know you're obsessed with Skyrim when... Oh, here we go. You are also in the doghouse for yelling out the names of Aella, Astrid, Lydia, Elisif, or any other such name while doing the mattress mambo.
Wow.
Wait, the mattress mambo, huh?
The mattress mambo.
I think that's another name for Scrabble.
I was gonna say like Trivial Pursuit, but you know, whatever. If you want to play Trivial Pursuit or Scrabble on your mattress, good luck finding all the pieces. You know, they get lost in the covers and all that. Incidentally,
this is I can. So everybody knows Varwin has endearingly coined the term graphics min-maxer. There was a point, okay, this was like maybe a year or so after I had been playing Skyrim, so 2012-ish, where I would literally go outside and think to myself, man, those trees look a lot like Skyrim. I like the way that the clouds rolled. You know, they really have, you know, the nice textures. It looks almost as good as Skyrim. And like this is things that I would actually think.
You totally stole what I was going to say. Like, I swear to God, I was playing Skyrim heavily when it was, you know, first out. I would seriously like go outside and like see plants that look like thistle or lavender or whatever, and I'd think about like what kind of potions I could make with the plants outside.
Oh my God! But it was so cool because like I remember feeling that exact same thing when I played Oblivion for the first time. You know, just heavily, obsessively playing Oblivion. And for me, for Oblivion, it was that plants thing, because I would literally just be like, oh man, dude, that looks like lavender. That looks like thistle. I should harvest it. And I would literally, like, my friends.
Sweet stamina potion with that.
Yeah, like my friends and I, you know, when we'd go out to like dinner or like the movies or something, because we all like obsessively played Oblivion. We would, like, if they had like plants at the restaurant, we would just like crouch down and be like, guys, check this out, and like harvest it.
I like how you crouched first so that you would become invisible and then you could take the plants.
Well, yeah. How else are you supposed to do? There's enemies nearby in the, you know, the busboys and stuff.
All right. How about this one? You know you're obsessed with Skyrim when you haven't listened to any other music other than the Skyrim soundtrack in the last couple of months.
That's probably a good one.
I'm actually very jealous of that.
I cannot blame you at all, because the music is, I mean, first of all, the soundtrack is literally 4 discs long.
Yeah.
Which is freaking sick.
I swear, between Morrowind, Oblivion, Skyrim, and Online, I have not listened to any other music in months. I mean, every time, like, I go in my car and I drive, where the hell did that wolf come from? Jesus. This wolf's like, ah, I got you. No, you didn't. You're dead. Every time, and mind you, this is every single time I jump in my car to either go to work or come home, because, you know, I don't go anywhere else in my life other than to Jenny's house. So, and there too, like, I just plug my phone in to an AV cable to my car, and I just sit back and just listen to whatever randomly plays from Ace Elder Scrolls soundtrack.
That's amazing. Does the soundtrack include like the music when there's an enemy around or anything?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
It has, you know, the regular overworld music, which is, you know, if you're just exploring and walking, it has all the, you know, the city music. It's because the soundtrack is actually, the way that they score it, it's actually broken up into categories. So you have just the regular overworld exploration, you have the city soundtracks, you have the dungeon music, and you have the combat music. And the soundtrack is all of that. And the reason I like Skyrim soundtrack so much is because it has all of that. And then the last disc is 40-something minutes of nothing but just ambient noises. It's just ambient sound. So, like, you know when you're exploring at night and you don't really hear music, but it's just kind of like these very, very soothing tones. And you look up and you see, you know, the Aurora Borealis. And it's that kind of, like, ambience. And, God, it's so, so good.
Are you seeing what's going on the screen right now?
Yeah, dude. I hope you take a screenshot.
Yeah, I did. Okay. I mean, look how gorgeous that is.
That's pretty impressive.
If you want to get rid of that compass for like a beautiful, clean picture, if you open up your console, type TM, take the screenshot, and then type TM again, you'll get a nice, clean image, void of any HUD.
What is it? TM?
Yep.
Enter.
Yep. and then take your screenshot and then type TM enter again, and then you'll have your HUD back.
All right, let's give this a try here. There we go. All right, tilde, TM, enter, tilde. Very good. All righty, so that was fun. I legitimately enjoyed that. Okay. So onto our fast question. And then actually let's do that last. I think it'd be better for flow's sake that we do the new section brought to you by Crispy, which is Tales from the Dungeon.
I like how it sounds so macabre. Tales from the Dungeon, and it's by Crispy.
Tales from the Dungeon.
By Crispy.
Exactly. Ridiculous. Okay.
It's classic Elder Scrolls Night. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So today's tale from a dungeon is Foralhost. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to head over to Broken Helm Hollow, and then I'm going to walk up to Foralhost, and I'm going to try and clear that dungeon out as Crispy regales us with the lore behind this particular dungeon.
Okay, so Foralhost Crypt. The story begins with Scorm Snowstrider, who was the commander of a legion of Lord Harold's soldiers during the First Era. He was leading his troops through Rift, trying to drive the Snow Elves north where his main defenses lay in wait. During his campaign, he discovered a hidden stronghold of dragon cultists in the secluded monastery of Foralhost, which is high in the Jiral Mountains, directly southeast of Riften. He decided that their threat was too big to ignore, so he and his men came up with a plan to strike soon and deal with the cult quickly. Unfortunately, the plan failed, and instead, fighting ensued over several weeks. So the leader of the cultists was a man named Rago. He devised a plan for the cult to commit mass suicide in the chamber, in hopes that if Scorm and his men did eventually break through the main door, the gruesome sight would deter them from searching for other survivors. The other outcome, of course, being that Rago himself would survive. He ordered his alchemists to make large amounts of death belt poison. The chief alchemist actually questioned his orders. Her note can be found in the crypt, pleading that this not be done, to rethink killing themselves and their children for this battle. Her mummified corpse can be found in the same room. She was murdered for his descent. Outside, with the help of a voice master, Scorm and his troops breached the main gate. The cultists then retreated to the interior of the monastery and collapsed the main stairway to further block access in. Rago ordered for the suicide to begin. Afterward, he ordered the burial of the children's bodies, and the remaining cultists died in their beds after taking the poison. The skeletons of the dead cultists can be found on the beds in the barracks, their bottles of poison sitting all around. The tiny, mummified children's bodies can be found a little further along the crypt. Eventually, Scorm took the fortress, found the morbid scene, and pushed on anyway. Within the catacombs, they discovered a well. There were several buckets sitting there, already filled with well water, and his thirsty soldiers drank heavily. When the ones who drank began to grow ill and die, Scorm realized that the cultists had not only poisoned themselves, they had poisoned the entire water supply. He ordered no more men to drink, and they abandoned their search. He did leave behind his journal documenting what happened there to warn future adventurers of what lay ahead. What happened to Rago is largely a mystery, other than that when he died, he was sealed inside the depths of the crypt. When discovered by the Dragonborn, he returns as a dragon priest with a powerful mask that is wanted by many. That's the end. Big thanks to the UESP Wiki, elderscrolls.wiki.com, and I really hope that you enjoyed it. If there's something that you'd like to hear, any dungeon that you'd like the story behind, let us know, and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, now I'm actually about to go in here, and I've never been here before. I just picked up a quest, so I'm ready to head inside. This Imperial captain is going to unlock the door for me in Foralhost Stronghold. So let's go through here a little bit. And now Crispy, as I move through here, would you be able to pick certain stuff out that relates directly to what you had just spoke about?
Yeah, mainly in the first zone will be the most things I talked about. As you get further along, it just turns into dragon cultists and draugrs and stuff to kill. But yeah, at first, totally.
Cool. All right. So I encounter my first bad guy in here, and sure enough, he looked like the ghost of a Nord.
The ghost of a Nord. That's one of the dragon cultists, the right. Dead dragon cultists. Yes. Your stream is lagging for me, so if I sound like I don't know what's going on, that's because I haven't seen it yet.
Oh no, it's all right. It does that. It's I think we're on like a 30-second delay or something.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Which is a Twitch thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so out of my element here. I would just be running away.
It's like I was like, Shane's gonna hate my segment.
No, actually, you know what? Like that's what I like. I actually don't mind the dungeons in Oblivion and Skyrim because the way that I play them is basically the opposite of what you're seeing here. Varwin's going through and just slaying and just being a total baller. I have my bow and I sneak through all of these things and try to get, like, you know, on the stream here, he's picking a lock and a chest, and that's like what I try to go for through this. So like I don't really mind the dungeons. They're just I would never go out of my way to go into one, if that makes sense.
See, and I'm the exact opposite. Like, I think that I cleared every dungeon in Skyrim before I even finished a whole entire quest line. Like,
jeez.
Oh, I hear
I
that.
I couldn't walk by one without going in.
Yeah. I mean, this is... You're looking at it right here. Like, this is my element. I adore dungeon crawling.
Oh, same right here.
I absolutely adore it. Okay, so here it is. Skorm Snowstrider's Journal. This goes directly to what Crispy was talking about.
Yeah, he sort of tells the story and warns everybody what they're going to see if they progress into the dungeon.
Right.
If I recall.
Maybe for following episodes of Classic, maybe what we'll do is we'll bump this segment up earlier in the show. This way we can sort of, you know, get into the dungeon and, you know, hear what you have to say, get into the dungeon. If we find books like that, like, we can actually have the time in the beginning of the show to sort of, you know, read the book and all that.
Definitely. I think in the next room is where you find the beds with the skeletons on them and the poison, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm seeing it. There's beds with skeletons on here.
Yep.
Yeah. It's pretty sad when you find out that this is...
It's really macabre, yeah.
It really is. I mean, if I didn't know any better, I'd say this was ripped out of some headlines from the mid-90s in Waco, Texas. I mean, there's poison all over on these bedposts. It's really creepy.
You know, Todd Howard and Bethesda were directly influenced by Waco, Texas, specifically for this dungeon.
No.
I'm literally making stuff up right now.
We can kind of tell.
I'm pretty sure Crispy, I think Crispy bought it.
I totally did.
Did you really?
Really? I was about to go Google it. About
to Google. Dear Todd Howard, did you? By the way, speaking of Todd the God Howard, as Shank likes to call him, we have a joke account of Todd Howard following us on at Elder Scrolls OTR.
Seriously?
Yes.
<That's> awesome.
it's absolutely hysterical. And, you know, I mean, he doesn't have... He says he doesn't have a Twitter account, and I almost believe it. So when I saw this thing following us, I was just laughing to myself, like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, who actually takes the time out of their day... And then I remembered, like, I made a Twitter account for my cat, so, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I made a Twitter account for my Lord of the Rings online character, so, like...
yeah. Mightiest for the win. All right, so I'm a little turned around inside this dungeon right now, and I'm sort of wondering if maybe I got through the most of it. But you were talking also about a barricaded door. I think I may have found it. Yeah. That looks nice. Like it may be it.
Yeah, there's no way you can get through there.
No.
Unless you cheated with your console command.
Right now, I'm not, doing that. Oh, okay, here we go. I got to go down these stairs. There's a chest here. A couple of septums. Which I found it interesting that in Morrowind, they don't. There's a few instances where they don't actually call them septums. They call them drakes.
You remember in that? Skyrim? Oh, no, in Morrowind.
Morrowind, yeah. Do you remember that, Crispy?
No, that doesn't ring a bell. I haven't played Morrowind in so long, and my memory is terrible.
Oh, tell me about it. I was actually embarrassed with myself in putting the show together today because I remember so little of Skyrim. If I went back and listened to the old episodes of Skyrim off the record, I mean, I probably would be shocked at how much I've forgotten about this game.
But see, I mean, that, talking about the currency, I think, so, if, you know, from Morrowind, Oblivion, and Skyrim, I think they're different in all three. Like, in Morrowind, you said that they're called, what are they called in Morrowind again?
Well, they do call them, they refer to currency a lot as septums.
Okay.
In Morrowind?
In Morrowind, they do refer to them a lot as septums, but every so often, you get someone that refers to it as drakes. Okay, now, I got this Draugr Deathlord coming after me now.
Peace. See, and that's the thing, because like, I know in Oblivion they call it septums, but in this game they call it gold.
Right, yes, they do.
And I think it's because... I actually don't know. Like, there has to be a lore reason why.
Why they call it gold?
Yeah, and not septums in this game.
It's probably just for peace of mind, for ease of discussion.
Right, but I'm saying, like, I mean, lore-wise, I mean, they wouldn't, I mean, because you see currency, you see money, like, all the time in these games. So, like, to all of a sudden change the name between one game to another,
I have a theory about that.
Okay.
So they were called Septums in Oblivion?
Yeah.
And wasn't Tiberius Septim the king then?
No, Uriel Septim.
Uriel Septim.
Yeah, the Uriel Septim the 7th or 8th, I think. Yeah, and he was assassinated right then.
Right, yeah. So in Skyrim, there is no High King, right?
Well, no. There's a High King of Sky... Well, High Queen of Skyrim. But there is an Emperor.
There is an Emperor.
Yeah, because you have to, you know, for the whole Dark Brotherhood thing. Mm-hmm. There is an Emperor, but, like, it's not really a... You know what I bet it is, Crispy?
What do you think it could be, Shank?
No, this is crazy that we're actually like having an actual discussion about the currency. But I think it's because, you know, Cyrodiil is the capital province of Tamriel. And, you know, the seat of power is in Cyrodiil. So I guess it would make sense to call your currency of the imperial the capital province septims after the emperor. But in Skyrim has its own culture, and it's actually has its own king and thanes and all this other stuff. So I guess it would make sense to call the currency in Skyrim, you know, just whatever, because it's not necessary. Yeah, just because it's not, you know, they're not actually part of the whole, you know, the whole imperial capital thing. I don't know. I think it's a cultural thing. I'm gonna stick with that.
I like that one.
Yeah, I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I mean, you're probably right. It probably has something to do with that. I mean, you know, it could also be just, you know, the simple fact that maybe it's just a mistake. It could be that, or it could be a mark of the ages, of course, that maybe, you know, ages ago it was referred to as Drakes and Morrowind regionally, and then... You know, they became the currency became septums after a few hundred years. You know.
Oh, here we go. Okay, we have somebody in chat. The Beast saying, "I looked it up. They sometimes call them drakes because of the Akatosh dragon symbol on the back."
Oh, okay.
What does that have to do with drakes? I'm not getting the correlation.
It's sort of like a. It's sort of like a cultural thing where, you know, an outside the empire is not rooted or is not from Morrowind. So they went to Morrowind and sort of like either colonized or forcibly colonized, and so, you know, they're not used to that kind of monetary system. So they probably are looking at this, at the coins, and saying, you know, okay, you know, these things that we like to refer to as drakes because of the, you know, imprint on the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
That, like Shank was saying, somehow culturally it became known as that.
Huh.
Yeah. And yeah, and as the chat room saying, drakes are another name for dragons.
Oh, that's what I was looking for.
It's just like it's like another, you know, culturally it's like another word used for the same thing. Like soccer and football, you know, it's the same sport, but you know, here in America we call it soccer culturally, but it's actually, you know, football to the rest of the world.
I just want to point out that I can imagine how annoying it must be to pick locks in this game with a keyboard and mouse.
I actually love it. It's very easy.
Really,
it's easier than with a controller. Cause it
really,
yeah, it kind of it clicks a little more than it flows. If that makes any sense.
No, I mean, I've never played this game without a controller, so I'm gonna take your word for it. I will say this though, it's got to be easier than Oblivion's with the keyboard and mouse. Because that, good God, that system.
Oh God, Oblivion's lockpicking system.
It's so bad.
So
like with a controller, it's 10 times easier. But my God, it's still such a terrible system.
I don't think I ever successfully picked a lock in Oblivion. Now that I'm thinking about it. I'm dead serious.
Did you just get the skeleton key and just unlock it?
I just was like, screw this. I'm not even going to try.
I just got Fusro bounced is what happened. That's exactly what happened. All right. So here I am still in Frolhost Keep. But we've got plenty to discuss. So let's move on to the next thing, which is our fast question. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the fast question?
Oh, yes.
All right, here we go.
My body is ready.
All right, then. fast question, guys. What little things does your character do for RP's sake? Crispy.
Okay, well, the only thing I can think of is that from the very beginning of Skyrim, myself and my character always pretty much hated Lydia. So whenever I'm out and about doing my quest and I find skulls or troll skulls, I pick them up so I can put them in her room.
Okay, terrific.
That's awesome. Not even lying.
No, you can't make that up.
That's like, so you like actually troll her.
I have pictures of it somewhere.
Oh, that is awesome. I want to see screenshots of this.
Can you tweet that out to at Elder Scrolls OTR, and then we'll retweet that, and it's going to get favorited too. But we've got to see this. All right, Shag, what about you? What's a little thing that your character does for RP's sake?
So you guys are going to hate my answer, but I think it's well known that I generally don't RP in any of the RPGs I play, but what is also well known about Shank, and I guess this translates to his characters too, is that I hate Argonians. I have an irrational hatred of Argonians. So if I come across one just randomly in the wild, I will kill it.
Kill it. Okay.
And this is going back to Oblivion, man. I mean, you can blame Amuse for creating my irrational hatred of an entire race of fictional things in a video game.
Right.
But that's okay, because that's one little thing. That's one consistent, I guess, roleplay thing that you could create. I guess the best explanation, and it's totally made up, is that in the past of my whatever character that I'm playing, it doesn't matter, he or she, more often than not, she was wronged by an Argonian. And so it's become her mission to just wipe them out, because obviously one Argonian represents all Argonians. So
clearly. Yeah, hey. I can understand why you say it's irrational then.
Yeah.
Straight up racist.
Don't mess with my Medici and Riften, because he's a baller.
He is just, he's like a lovesick little puppy that's just, never mind. You're talking about the jeweler guy.
Yeah.
God, I hate him. I robbed his stall blind. That was like the first thing I did in Riften when I first got the game. I went to Riften. That was literally the first thing I did was I walked to Riften, found his stall, and I just robbed him blind.
You're the worst.
I freaking hate Argonians so much. Now I'm mad.
Now I'm angry.
I'm crying.
Jeez, man. Jeez. All right. Here's something that I like to do. And usually this happens to me in online because I'm going to call it out, but the stream is also going to say, like, you haven't done that once. But it is something that happens to me all the time in online. I try and play I play a Templar, I try and play a Paladin type character. And as such, I only take my weapon out not to kill, but to allow something to live. Right? So, yeah, it goes that far. So what I do is after every fight, I always put my weapons away. Because I want the first thing that comes out of the first thing is not necessarily to fight and kill something, but rather to find a non-violent means of negotiation in order to achieve my quests.
Like running away.
No. Never back down in the face of evil, in the face of danger. You never back down. However, my first reaction is always to get verbal compliance from my challenges from people who are challenging me. I always want to get verbal compliance, and obviously when it comes to the undead, that can never happen. So when I go through crypts, my weapons are usually out. But out and about in the world, my weapons are usually in because, you know, I want to allow. So if I can allow something to live, then I'll do that.
I mean, that's the most logical, well thought out one of all of us.
I've been doing it for a long time, so, you know, it's part of it. That might be why.
But that's kind of amazing.
But there you go. Well, I'm glad you like that.
I'm super impressed.
It's not impressive.
Well, neither is skull collecting, so.
You know what I do to guarantee life? I run away.
Awesome. I run away. Skull collecting is hysterical. That is impressive.
I posted a link in chat of the picture.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let me. We got to retweet this. All right, so.
Oh, no. I'll tweet it in a minute.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
I just put it in chat.
Okay, now, before we say goodnight, we do have an email from one of our wonderful listeners, the Wanderer. So, Shank, would you mind presenting that, please?
I do not mind. Right away, Mr. or Miss Wanderer, you get the huge G award for this week.
Mr. He is Mr. the Wanderer.
Mr. the Wanderer says... Hey, Classic Elder Scrolls Knight. It is Wanderer here with a response to Shank's answer to the fast travel question that was posed. This was a few weeks back. I don't think the fast travel system in Morrowind should be implemented in Elder Scrolls VI. I understand that this is your opinion and it represents your playstyle, yet it totally blocks out mine and many others. I do walk occasionally in the Elder Scrolls games, but I really prefer not to most of the time. I think that Skyrim had the concept down right. Being able to fast travel to any city by paying the carriage driver a small fee, and then having to wander off to discover different places, and then you could fast travel to them. This fits my playstyle of having most of my characters being very story and RP driven. Yet if they made the map have a parchment feel to it, that could increase my immersion even more while I am roleplaying. This also allows players like you, Shank, to walk and explore and never have to fast travel one bit. Yet at the same time, allow players like me to fulfill their need for speed
You've got to be kidding me.
By fast traveling. He says, sorry, Crispy. I'm not sorry. I do want to add one more thing, though. Being that if they included a lore-friendly version of the carriage, I couldn't be any happier from my perspective. I hope that you'll understand where I'm coming from, Wanderer. First of all, thank you for your email and your need for speed. I think, and I was talking to Avarwin about this, but it was literally pure coincidence that this guy trolled Crispy, and this happens to be her first episode.
I quit the show.
This is amazing. I actually have a response to this, which I think will actually solve a lot of problems. I propose that in Elder Scrolls 6 to have fast travel as a toggle. And I'm not sure if we've talked about this before. And if we have, I apologize for repetition. But, you know, considering we have a lot more new listeners right now, I think having it as a toggle in the settings menu to just say, do you want to fast travel or not, and just have it on or off. And if you do have it on, then it could be like, you know, Skyrim's way where you can see the cities, but you have to actually get to them first. And if you have it off, you know, for players like me, you literally see nothing on the map. It's just the world. It's just a blank map, which you can toggle on or off. I think that would be, I'm saying it now that it sounds like an easy system to implement because you could just turn it on or turn it off. But right. I think that would appease a lot of people.
Well, I don't necessarily think you're wrong. Crispy, what do you think of Shank's idea?
Hold on one second.
Yeah.
When I was listening to the show last episode, I was actually, like, I'm somebody who abuses the fast travel system. Like, if it's there, I'm going to use it.
You're dead to me.
I know. But I was actually, when I was listening to the show and you were talking about Morrowind's fast travel system, and I was kind of shocked to find myself like actually agreeing with you 100%, because that's like the only system in the games that actually makes sense. Like, you have to go somewhere, get on a Siltrider and go somewhere, or have a mage take you there. So yeah, I think there should be a way for people that don't want to do it in a non-believable way. Not that magic's believable, but it makes more sense than just being able to up and, yeah.
It is believable. So, magic's totally believable.
So, no, I do. I think I agree. And that's coming from someone who abuses the fast travel system. So.
There you go. Yeah, I think it would be good to have some kind of, you know, gate toward, do you want your gameplay style to be supported through, how should I put this? I think having more options in a game to support maybe a more extreme or a more casual sort of gameplay style is always a good idea. You know, you've got toggleable systems where, you know, you can tune down the difficulty of the game.
Uh-huh.
You have systems where you can like in like Fallout, I believe, Fallout New Vegas. You can have certain role-playing things in your character take effect, like hunger and thirst in the desert. And if you have an option where you can toggle on and off a fast travel system, just assuming that it can be done, or that it is a good game mechanic, I think it would be nice to have that. Absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
All right. Well, it looks like I'm actually toward the end here of the dungeon.
Dude, that Death Lord, man. Literally, I would have seen him and just ran right out of the dungeon.
Yeah, he's no joke.
I'm fighting three Draugr Death Lords right now, and...
Did you find the alchemy lab with all the death spell and...
The alchemy lab? I don't mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh.
I'm not sure. I've just been moving through this thing.
It's full of death spell, and it's where they made all the poison, and where you can find the note from the head alchemist that got murdered because she didn't want to murder all the people and the kids.
Oh. That's sad.
Yeah.
I don't know, I might be close to it. I've got these Draugr death overlords I'm fighting at the moment. Once I get past them, oh, ow, that look, it hurt for him. Jeez, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, this is literally every element in my body is just telling me to run away.
Run away.
No, don't do it. I just went through this dungeon yesterday, and I totally feel you. These guys are, like, no kidding.
Do they have, like, ebony weapons or something?
They do, yeah.
And they okay, shout. So
that's, yeah. Yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah.
Yeah, ebony greatsword. Man, look at that.
Where did he go? He's running off. My mace has... geez, there's more of them in here? What's going on? My ebony mace has the ability to fear, on occasion, undead. So it gets kind of annoying because they're constantly running away. And I guess if I'm getting grouped up by these guys, you know, it helps to help my survivability. But if it's just a straight out fight, like I'm chasing this guy all through the dungeon already, like it's enough, you know.
No, it's ridiculous. I had Mercurio with me, who's a really high-powered mage, and he kept casting spells on them that made them do the same thing, like run away. And I'm like, dude, stop it. Like, I need to kill these guys.
Yeah, the fear.
Exactly. It was really annoying.
That's probably the only type of mage I actually like playing. Because I've tried so many types and across Oblivion and Skyrim. And magic in Oblivion is no joke. Like, you really need to be competent if you want to be a mage in that game, I think, at least. But in this game, because of the flexibility, I've said it before, like, I love... The only mage that I feel successful that I'm good at is that defensive mage where, you know, you use your illusion to fear and then fury and conjure your Atronax and stuff to fight for you. That's probably the coolest aspect of magic.
You can't be an ignoramus to play...
Huh?
Shank's like, you can't be an ignoramus in order to be a successful mage in Oblivion.
No, dude, I mean, it's a difficult system, man. I mean, it's no joke in Oblivion. Like, you really, it's almost like frustratingly difficult, I think.
Oh, I believe it.
Which is honestly why I never had a really serious mage character in Oblivion. But in Skyrim, just the flexibility that they offered you, I was like, you know what? A mage is a very viable character.
It's super fun.
And it is actually fun. That's the thing. In Oblivion, I didn't have fun playing a mage. And I think that's the thing.
Really?
Yeah, I actually did not have fun playing a mage. The play space when you were playing a mage in Oblivion, I found, was very, very narrow. You didn't have that many options at your disposal. You were either, I mean, you, for a long time, you're really, really weak. And then all of a sudden you get powers and you get your access to abilities and then you become really, really powerful. So there's no gradual sort of learning ladder in Oblivion. It's just very, very difficult. And then all of a sudden it gets, you know, you get very good. And I really didn't like that. It just felt like such a huge wall. But in Skyrim, you do get that gradual sort of progression with magic, despite, you know, regardless of what school you're looking at. And that's what makes it fun, because you learn something new every single time in Skyrim. But in Oblivion, whenever you learn some new magic ability, it didn't really click or appear to be that as effective until you got way more competent with that ability. And that was really off-putting.
I just
want to point out that Liz in chat says that Shank has a permanent fear spell put on him, and that's why he's always peacing out.
That's... I can't argue with that.
Sound logic. All right, guys. Well, final thoughts as we close out this show, and let's start with Crispy.
Final thoughts. I had so much fun. Thanks for having me here, and I can't wait to do it again. Everybody tweet, email, how you can get in touch if you want to hear a story about a dungeon, and I will see what I can do.
And Shank?
Dude, this was fun. Super fun. I loved... Yeah, I mean, the discussion, you know, especially with the exploration piece, it was just awesome, because I didn't point them out because, you know, you were playing, but there was things that I noticed in the map that I was like, oh, you know what, I should go back there again. And it was super fun. I love Skyrim. It's a great game.
Yeah, you see right there on the stream, 440 hours total so far, so just about 500. Crispy, welcome. You're a wonderful addition to the show, and it's fantastic to have you here, and I think the listeners are gonna absolutely agree. Thank you, everyone, for listening to us on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, or through the RSS feed that you've picked up on our websites, ElderScrollsOffTheRecord.com or QuestGamingNetwork.com. Thank you so to all the people in the chat room. If you want to reach out to us, that's at ElderScrollsOTR or ElderScrollsOffTheRecord@gmail.com. And that'll do it for this week at Classic Elder Scrolls Night. Take care, everyone. Be safe. And as always, may the Force be with you!